All right. It is so good for us all to be here together here and now. It is so good because, you know, for the last maybe week and a half, this has just been a whirlwind of activity for most of us, if not all of us. Because even if you finished your Christmas shopping and you got all your Christmas cards sent out, there is so much right now to stress you out. All right? We have got birthday parties. We have got office holiday parties. We've got end of the year financial matters to wrap up. You got to clean the house. A lot of you are entertaining guests or relatives. There might be end of the school year meetings, last minute sports games and competitions. And at least for me on Tuesday, carving a little bit of time out to see Star Wars The Last Jedi. No. That makes the list, by the way. I've been putting it off too long as it is. I am running the risk of spoilers and Facebook reviews. So yeah, that makes the list. And in the middle of all of that, we have Mass. All right, we have Mass in the middle of all of that. And it is very good that we're all together between today and tomorrow. Now, it is worthwhile to remember and understand why exactly we go through all of this. Why exactly do we come to Mass? And to be sure, there are a number of good answers out there. The answer we're going to work on today, though, is by way of a reflection on the Old Testament. And yeah, I know there was no Mass in the Old Testament, but there was worship and organized religion, so the point remains the same. And Amy Jill Levine talks about this sort of thing in one of the books she helped write called The Meaning of the Bible. And The Meaning of the Bible is about correctly understanding the Old Testament. And it was written for Jews and Christians alike. And so I quote from page 165. Sigmund Freud, diagnosed religion as a neurosis and ritual practices as the obsessive acts of a neurotic people, fearful that if they do not follow the ritual exactly, disaster will strike. But Freud's classification is not how the biblical text regards activity of worship. Through rituals and their attendant time and place, practitioners hallow space and time, draw nearer to God, solidify communal bonds, and sanctify their bodies. The concern is not the divine wrath that follows if rituals are not followed precisely. On the contrary, in biblical teaching, disaster comes when moral precepts are ignored. That is so important for us to understand. All right? If that text was a little advanced to you, here's what she's saying. We're not doing any of this because God is demanding it on pain of punishment. Now, God does punish us from time to time, but it's almost never about worship. When God makes it clear that he is disappointed in us, it's for moral reasons. It's when we fail to be good to one another. It's when we've failed to be just and compassionate and reasonable. And every single one of us cares about that sort of thing. Everybody here cares about sympathy, fairness, and truth. And it's when we turn away from those things, when we don't give them the attention they deserve, that is when disaster strikes. When we turn away from compassion, truth, and kindness, that is when the world takes a nosedive. That is so powerful. Worship, she's saying, is a little bit different. We worship to sanctify ourselves, to make us closer to God and closer to one another. And on some deep spiritual level, we need both of those things I mean, obviously we need a relationship with God, but I think it's just as important to say out loud that we need a good relationship with one another. We need to assemble in peace and goodwill. And as people, we have a tendency to wither when we're not able to do that. So maybe you could think of it like this. Mass is a little bit like a cleansing ritual, like washing your hands before dinner. If you don't wash your hands before dinner, you won't starve. You won't starve. But I think we all know that the meal will be better for everyone if you wash your hands. It is time you take away and effort that you make for the sake of being better for the meal. For Mass, this is time that we are taking away from the outside world to better ourselves. And the only difference is soap isn't the active ingredient. God is the active ingredient, moving within us and moving among us. To better ourselves in here, to be the best people we can be out there when we're done with church. I know it was a whopping 3 minutes ago. Do you remember the gospel? And they will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isn't that exactly what we're talking about? Isn't that the exact meaning of Christmas? God with us. Because, you know, Easter is more the time we reflect on the sacrifice of Christ, the salvation through Christ's death and resurrection. Today is more about celebrating Christ with us. And it's not just the fact that he was born among us. It's not just the fact that he lived a human life among us. It's the fact that he's still with us here and now. And yeah, you're not literally going to run into him on the street, I don't think. But he is with us here and now whenever you call him. And if you need to do the right thing, he will be right there at your side if only you ask. And if you need cleansing in here, he is ready to go along with the Holy Spirit. So I ask that when it comes time for us to part ways and we scatter to our various holiday parties and Star Wars screenings, no particular order, of course, when we depart from this place, I ask that you hold this hour of worship within you. Be holy. Be sanctified. Be closer to God as best as you're able. But above and beyond all else, be good. Be good. Stand up for what is right whenever you can. And rise up and resist wrongdoing and evil whenever you find it. And know that Christ is Emmanuel, God with us, always and forever. And he will be your strength and your peace.